You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Tao of the Perfect Collision. The Physics of Striking in the Martial Arts. Or, Three Ways That Speed Kills. Today, I'm going to discuss the physics of what happens when you hit stuff. The martial artist tends to think of striking as him or her striking a target. Physics, however, treats it as a collision between two objects. The kinetic energy in a collision moves in both directions, so in a very real sense, the target is hitting the martial artist as well. Anyone who has ever injured themselves when striking has felt this directly. The physics of collisions is fascinating, but complicated as well. I'm going to do my very best to draw you a simplified audio picture. As I said before, in a collision, the kinetic energy flows both ways. I'm going to talk first about the portion that goes into your target. But first, I want you to get ready. I'm going to discuss a mathematical formula. Yes, you heard me correctly. Math. I promise, however, to keep it short, simple, and easy to understand. Are you ready? The amount of kinetic energy generated by your strike is figured out by multiplying the mass of what you're hitting with times the square of the velocity of what you're hitting with, and then cutting the result in half. There now, that wasn't so bad, was it? Did you catch that part about the velocity being squared? That means that if your fist is traveling a little bit faster, it's way more important than if your fist is a little bit heavier. That's the first way that speed kills. More speed results in much more kinetic energy. More kinetic energy means more potential damage. Unfortunately, striking for damage is a little more complicated than just determining the kinetic energy, as is usually the case when describing events in the real world. A car hitting you at 2 miles an hour has a lot of kinetic energy, but will probably do very little damage to you. Let's start with the slowest possible strike. When the speed is very slow, either the striker will move the target, or the target will move the striker, or some of both. But in any case, no damage is done. Since moving the target is not what we want to do, let's add a little more speed. As the speed of the strike goes up, some of the energy that was wasted by moving the target in the last example goes into creating a shock wave that distorts the structure of the target. Think of first pushing a heavy bag with your fist, and then striking it with sufficient speed that you put a dent or crater in it. That dent is the distortion about which I'm talking. If you've ever viewed a slow motion video of a person being punched in the head, you've seen this shockwave as it visibly travels through the face of the poor bastard being hit, distorting it into bizarre and comical facial expressions. That's the second way that speed kills. More speed, a bigger shockwave. Sometimes a shockwave is enough. If the part of your opponent's body that you are striking is very sensitive, like his solar plexus, a shockwave alone will frequently bring satisfactory results. If you've ever had the wind knocked out of you, you have felt this personally. Unfortunately, it can be very difficult to zero in on such sensitive parts of the opponent's body. No, I think we need to up the ante. Distorting the tissues of your opponent's body with a strike takes time. Hundredths of a second, but time nevertheless. If you now jack up the speed of the strike to a sufficient level, there's not enough time for the tissues of the body you're striking to distort, and the kinetic energy that would have distorted them begins to damage them through bruising, tearing, and fracturing. And there you have the third way that speed kills. At a high enough speed, the body cannot bend or stretch fast enough to avoid damage. Since we are thinking of striking another human, we are not talking about a target that is extremely resistant to damage, like a brick wall. But which part of the opponent's body you strike obviously makes a difference. The human body is a composite structure of hard and soft materials. Striking the opponent's skull is very different from striking his jaw, or his nose, or his ribs, his abdomen, his kneecap, his thigh muscle, etc. Some common anatomical targets that are especially sensitive are the eyes, the groin, the throat, and the solar plexus. I'll cover other anatomical targets later. Now let's look at different kinds of things that you might strike. Some materials and structures distort more easily than others. Muscle tissue, especially in a fit individual, has a dual nature. When relaxed and slack, a muscle is soft and transmits the shockwave very well to deeper tissues like nerves, organs, and bones. In this state, it behaves much like fat tissue. When contracted, however, muscle tissue becomes tougher and more springy. Striking it can sometimes feel like striking an inflated car tire or the surface of a trampoline. In this state, the muscle tissue is more resistant to transmitting the shockwave to deeper tissues. Thus, in a very real sense, it becomes a form of armor. This effect can be accidental. Your opponent could have just happened to have his muscle tissue contracted when you struck it. More concerning for you, however, is the fact that experienced fighters learn and train to both contract the appropriate muscles and position their body parts in the most favorable way to receive impact. This is a little understood part of fighting. It is not only that veterans are usually tougher physically, they actually improve their coordination to take less damage and cause their opponents to waste energy. Understand this and educate yourself about it. In addition to being composed of different materials, different parts of the opponent's body have different structures as well. The skull and brain make an interesting structure in this regard. While it is in the realm of possibility to strike the skull and fracture it using only your anatomical weapons, it's very difficult. It takes much less kinetic energy to cause a concussion. This is because at slower speeds, you move the skull rather than damaging it. At a sufficient speed, you move the skull fast enough to cause the brain to slosh around inside it, causing damage to the brain when it collides with the inside of the skull. Hitting the jaw in such a way that the head suddenly turns has a similar effect. Striking the side of the jaw near the chin takes full mechanical advantage of the length of the jawbone as a lever to cause the head to suddenly turn. The soft tissue of the brain and brain stem is not composed of a material that can accelerate without distortion, the way the jawbone can. The result is a twisting effect at the brain stem, as if it were a rag being twisted and wrung out. It's no wonder that this type of strike frequently results in a knockout. Let's look at that portion of the kinetic energy that flows back into your striking limb. Just as with the portion that went into the target, the energy that flows back into you will result into some combination of force to move you and a shockwave, and the effect it has will depend greatly on the speed of the collision. Having a properly structured and grounded stance, combined with properly aligned bones and joints, will resist movement and distortion, ideally rendering both insignificant. Again, pay attention. If you maximize the destructive force of your strike without also properly aligning your skeleton, most of your own force will feed back into you. A common result of this is a badly injured wrist, and there are equivalent injuries for other parts of your body in striking as well. Well, there you have it. You may or may not find the physics of striking as interesting as I do, but understanding it can go a long way towards helping you do the ultimate desired damage to the bad guy, and little or no damage to yourself. Anyway, that's what I think, but I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. We'll be right back. Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.